Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Hey, welcome to the Rediscover Hour, everyone. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again as we are kicking off into Pentecost weekend. We've been waiting on tenterhooks. I'm not sure what those are, but we've been waiting on them between the Ascension and the Pentecost. We know what's going to happen at Pentecost, but, a little bit of a longer intro to the show this morning as we have Bishop Cousins calling in for us, and when he's on the line, we'll switch over to him. But, a little bit of a reflection on Pentecost this morning as we're thinking about Pentecost. It is it's a wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, but take yourself back to that first experience. Use your Ignatian imagination. Put yourself in the upper room. And I think that there was a fair amount of fear, of uncertainty going on in the apostles' hearts and minds, even though Jesus had promised those things. In fact, if we look at the account of Pentecost in the Acts of the Apostles, here's what we have. So this is about the time of the Ascension, which we've just heard. But so when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, It's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But, and I love it. I mean, again, put yourself in the scene. It's not for you to know. You know, it's not time to kick out the Romans. That's not what's going on here. That's not what this is all about. But, yeah, what's coming after that but? Wouldn't you just be waiting? Wouldn't you just be waiting to know what is he going to say? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you should be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Just a little informational thing there too. That word witnesses can also be translated as martyrs. You will be my martyrs in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and indeed to the ends of the earth. All right, so that's the setup, right? And then he was taken from them after he gives them this promise of power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So now, if I were in their place, I'd be thinking, well, how do we know? How do we know when the Holy Spirit has come? Will it be obvious? Has it happened already? Did I miss it? Right? All right, so they're gathered together in the upper room. As I said, I would imagine there's still an amount of fear and uncertainty racing through, at least nags in that direction, right? That I don't know. I don't know what the Lord is doing here in our midst. I don't know what he's planning on accomplishing. I don't know what this whole "you will receive power" thing means. And I don't know what this whole "you will be my martyrs. What is he talking about? So a lot of questions. Jesus is pretty good at that. If Jesus isn't in your own life, if he isn't raising questions in your life, then I think you need to ask him to, because he's really good at that and he likes doing it, because it's the questions that really drive us onward in our faith, right? Okay, so then skip ahead to the coming of the Holy Spirit. So when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributed and resting on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then it goes into and God bless the lectors. I'm a proclaimer of the word myself, and God bless those who have this reading, because you have that good of all the Jews from every region, right? You have to tackle these this Sunday: Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia. Yeah, on and on and on. You have to tackle all these and make it sound official, right? Well, God bless you. We're praying for you, okay? But that even itself is a work of the Holy Spirit, right, to effectively proclaim the word. Anyway, the Holy Spirit came upon them. I'm pretty sure that they didn't miss it, right, as they might have been afraid that they would, or at least I would have been in that situation. The whole place shook. There was a sound as of a mighty wind, and there were these tongues as of fire that came down and alighted upon each of them, And then suddenly the Spirit gave them utterance, right, into these other tongues. So there were signs of the Holy Spirit being present in and amongst them. But here's the transformational effect. Because if you have the subdivisions like I have in my Bible where, you know, it labels a section and just with a title that obviously wasn't there in the original Greek, but is put in. So beginning of Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, it says the coming of the Holy Spirit. But then in verse 14, right after all these things had occurred, it says Peter addresses the crowd. Now, it does say that after the ascension, the apostles were back in the temple area glorifying and praising God, right? But now the witnessing starts, right? The witnessing begins with the enabling of the Holy Spirit. We are to live our lives as witnesses, just as those early apostles were, not on our own strength, but on the strength of the Holy Spirit that has come and has been given each of us. Now, hopefully, most of you have already received the sacrament of confirmation. And as you know, I've been in the Catholic Church about 9 years now, and that's enough time. You know, a 9-year-old can cause a lot of trouble, right? Well, here's one of the things I've observed in my 9 years of being in the Catholic Church, is that I do believe of the 7 sacraments, confirmation is the least understood, the least well understood. So what is it all about? And it doesn't help matters that for cradle Catholics anyway, you were meant to be learning about it, at least in recent generations, you were meant to be learning about it in your teenage years. You know, when there's a lot of other distracting things in life going on, right? Well, here's one thing that I like to, when I'm speaking with others about the sacrament of confirmation, I like to remind them, if you go into the catechism and read on the sacrament of confirmation, well, it was literally confirmation with strength, right? Cona firma, with strength. So you are adding, you are completing the graces of baptism, right? And you are strengthening those graces when you receive the sacrament of confirmation. But here's a different way of looking at it. The catechism itself will say, in some very real ways, confirmation, receiving the sacrament of confirmation, is your own personal participation in Pentecost. Think about that when you're at Mass this Saturday night or Sunday. Think about it in the ways that this is your participation. If you've been confirmed, you have been there in some very real ways with the apostles in the upper room when the sound of a mighty wind came, when the place was violently shook, when these tongues of fire descended. Because you have been sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, given in baptism, but sealed within you at confirmation, right? And in some very real ways, in fact, in indescribably real ways, you have been empowered, just as they were, empowered to live a life of witness, to live a life of martyrdom in the world today. That's our calling, folks. I love the phrase. I'm not sure where it comes from. I'm not sure who said it. But I love the phrase that it's not so much that the church has a mission, but that the church is a mission, right? It is the continuing work of Jesus Christ in the world today for the salvation of that world and the bringing of his love, grace, peace, and fulfillment to all individuals, to all families, to all institutions, to all organizations, and the bringing of that peace of the Father to the world today. That's what we are empowered to do through the Holy Spirit. Now, for some of us, I should say, I can't count myself out of this, that may mean what the so-called red martyrdom of shedding of our blood for the sake of the gospel. It may mean that. For others, and probably for the bulk of us, it probably means more of that white martyrdom that they talk about, a sacrificing of oneself for the good of the world, for the good of others. St. Thomas Aquinas, of course, defined true love, the love that we are commanded to have one for another, both in the Old Covenant and in the New Covenant, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself in the Old Covenant, and to love one another as I have loved you. The mandatum, the new commandment in the new covenant that Jesus has come to institute and to have us live out. That love is willing the good of the other as other, according to St. Thomas Aquinas. And that's what's really, that's just part and parcel to living our Catholic life today. That's the focus of it. And that's why at the end of every Mass, if you're paying attention and you don't leave right after receiving communion, that's why you'll hear, you know, you'll hear things like, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. Because if when you glorify the Lord by your life, others will take notice and they too are going to be led anyway. They're going to be given the opportunity to give glory to God in heaven. Or one of my favorite dismissals is go and announce the gospel of the Lord. That's what we are sent out to do. That's not a throwaway part of the Mass. That's not something that can be overlooked. That's not something that can be left out. It's not an optional part. You have now been nourished with the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ himself, and now you are sent out to take his life, his light, his love to a world that is dying, the world that is dark, and the world that is full of hatred and mistrust. That's what Pentecost is all about, and that's why it's such an important celebration. We're going to be talking a little bit more about Pentecost here in just a few minutes with Bishop Cousins. All right, so coming down off of my preaching box, as it were, I also want to make mention, we're recording this on Friday. It is National Donut Day today. So, yeah, we go from Pentecost, we go from the sacred to the mundane or profane, as it were. But I did want to give mention to this, just because I found it interesting. I thought you might, too. All right, so it's National Donut Day today on Friday, and I thought this was something made up by the donut shops or the bakeries or the convenience stores just so people can have some sort of, you know, here, we need to sell more donuts, so we're going to make a National Donut Day. But no, actually, it has a much longer and richer history than that, even one that is spiritual. So what happened was that there was, in 1938, the Salvation Army started National Donut Day as a fundraiser. The Salvation Army in Chicago started National Donut Day as the first Friday in June as a fundraiser, but also to honor the Salvation Army lassies, as they were called, in World War I, who served donuts to soldiers. They did a whole study. They sent some people, the French Salvation Army sent some people to the front in World War I to find out what the soldiers needed. And one of the things that they found they needed was some quick energy source, so a lot of carbs, something that they could eat quickly, something that was portable, that they could hold in their hand, that would still give them a lot of carbs and a lot of energy for the battles that they were going to be facing. And so donuts started to be given away, tons and tons and tons of donuts. And so a lot of women, and then later on in World War II, the Red Cross joined in and also started giving out donuts to soldiers as well for these same reasons. Right. And so the Salvation Army in Chicago today, as far as I can tell, it's still a fundraiser for the Salvation Army, National Donut Day. Now, I'm not saying that that means you can go out and eat all the donuts you want. That's not quite how this works. But at the same time, I think it's right and just to honor it for what it is. And that it has a much I'm just admitting my own errancy on the air of saying I just figured it was some scam so that places like the gas stations could sell more donuts on a day like today. And you know what? They suckered me, and I brought in some donuts to the office today. But I tell you what, if maybe this will inspire you to bring in some donuts and then share the story that this is actually about people caring for others. It's about people sacrificing for others. And that ties right in with what I was saying before, is that true love, this love that wills the good of the other as other, always involves sacrifice. That's what the white martyrdom is it's always involving a sacrifice of self for the good of the other. True love always involves sacrifice. All right. So that's enough of me talking about all that stuff. Here's what's coming up on the show today. We're going to take a break, but then when we come back, Bishop Cousins is going to be on the phone with us. He's going to talk to us more about the Archdiocese Pentecost Mass that's coming up. Also, after that, we're going to be speaking with Joan Gesick and Dan Delmore about natural burial in Catholic cemeteries, which has just recently been approved. So we are going to be talking about that as well. And then finally, Linda Harmon and Barry McCullough are with us to talk about the Archbishop Flynn Catechetical Institute. That's what's happening. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show and commit the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. As together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are going to take a break. When we come back, Bishop Cousins is on the phone with us to talk about the Archdiocesan Pentecost Mass. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Joining me now on the phone is someone I think you probably will recognize, a native of Denver and serving with Net Ministries, then joining the Companions of Christ in St. Paul. The Most Reverend Andrew Cousins serves as Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Bishop Cousins, hello and welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Patrick. How are you today?
I'm doing all right, thanks. How about yourself?
Very well.
Good, good. We've got a couple of things we want to talk to you about, but we just I just spent a time, you know, probably boring my listeners with a little bit of an exegesis on Pentecost, but there's an Archdiocesan Pentecost Mass coming up. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, we're delighted to invite anyone who wants to come, 7 p.m. Saturday night at St. Peter's in Mendota, our first parish here in the Archdiocese, and we actually expect a large crowd. We've given a special invitation to those members of our local church who have a dedication to the Holy Spirit. Some of them involved with various aspects of the charismatic renewal, others in various renewal movements. And we expect it to be a beautiful time of prayer together. Archbishop Hebda and myself will both be there. And the particular intention of the gathering is to pray for God's blessing and wisdom and insight as we embark on a two-year process for an Archdiocesan Synod. So we're very excited. Those of you who've had the opportunity to read the Catholic Spirit this week will see that the Archdiocese is embarking on a two-year Synod process, and we're excited to begin that in prayer together, asking the Holy Spirit to inspire all the members of the Archdiocese as we seek to embark on this Synod process.
Okay, and that is the other thing we want to talk to you about, of course, too. We want to hear all about that. So what is a Synod?
Yeah, a Synod is a tool that the Church gives to a bishop or an archbishop to be able to consult the local Church around important issues in order to make good decisions and lead in a helpful way. And the tool can be used in lots of different ways. The last synod we had in the Archdiocese was in 1939.
Oh, my goodness.
So we figured every 80 years is probably a good time.
Very good, yeah.
The synod is a tool that allows broad consultation on a variety of issues. It could be just around legal or canonical issues. It's often around pastoral issues, as this synod will be. People are familiar with synods from what happens in Rome. Ever since the Second Vatican Council, there was a decision made at the council to have regular synods of bishops, that is to regularly consult the bishops of the world around various topics as an expression of the communion that all of the bishops together serve in. And so that's happened regularly over the past 30 plus years. The most recent ones we remember that Pope Francis has called. He called an extraordinary synod on the family and an ordinary synod on the family, and then he called an ordinary synod on youth. Ordinary means they happen every few years. Extraordinary means something that happens out of time, you know? Mm-hmm. And In those synods, we've seen a lot of broad consultation to try to bring together the best wisdom of the Holy Spirit, especially on difficult pastoral issues. How do we move forward together as a church on those pastoral issues?
And you said that this synod will actually be focused on those pastoral issues as well. Are there particular issues that you think the synod will be focusing in on?
Well, that's actually, I think, the exciting part about our synod is that we've decided not to predetermine what those pastoral issues should be. Mm-hmm. Of course, we know a lot of the needs of the archdiocese. We have great needs in the area of evangelization, especially for our young people who statistics tell us are leaving the church. We have great needs in strengthening marriages and families, which are struggling so much. We have great needs in handing on the faith, you know, our Catholic education and religious education. And so we obviously know a lot of those needs. But what we wanted to do, and really as a way to bring unity and invite everyone to be involved, is to spend the first year of the synod process listening to what those needs might be. And this was really Archbishop Hebda's desire that we would spend a lot of time this year listening to all members of the Archdiocese in terms of what they think the pastoral priorities that we should be focusing on are. So, you know, the synod itself is an actual event that delegates are chosen and invited to attend, and we expect that ultimate synod to be Pentecost weekend 2021. And there will probably be about 500 delegates invited to that synod, and canon law dictates a lot of who those have to be and things like that, although there will be representation from every parish and parts of the archdiocese. So that's the synod, actually. When you talk about it, it's that final synod assembly at the end. And how you get to that place, canon law gives a lot of freedom to the bishop to determine what's the consultation he wants to do to arrive at the ultimate synod. And Archbishop Hebda decided that the first thing he wants to do is listen to all corners of the archdiocese about what are the pastoral needs that we should be focusing on. And we've got a whole team of people to help us listen well and then discern well. And it'll be at the end of that first year of the process that we put together the particular pastoral priorities that we want to focus on.
Excellent. So those will be fruits of those listening sessions.
Correct. Yeah, we've got 20 scheduled general listening sessions and about 11 other focused group listening sessions. So you could imagine there are particular groups in the archdiocese that have particular needs and interests. So our Catholic school principals, for example, or our parish staffs, our young people. We're going to do a listening session with young people at Archdiocesan Youth Day in the fall. Our priests, our deacons, our religious. So as well as just the 20 general listening sessions, we plan 11 focused listening sessions around particular groups. So, and Archbishop or myself will be present at every one of those. So it's going to be a real priority for us this year.
Wow. Well, thank you for your presence there. If people are interested, are these general, at least the general ones, is anybody and everybody welcome?
Anybody and everybody, and they're already listed in this week's Catholic Spirit. The dates, the times, the locations. We tried to make it so that nobody in the Archdiocese would have to drive more than, say, 20 to 30 minutes to get to one of these. So we have them in St. Wenceslaus and New Prague and Divine Mercy and Faribault, over on the east side, or in the south, and I can't remember if it's Zimbroda, or I think it's actually Cannon Falls.
Right.
And then up north as well. So in every corner of the archdiocese, we'll be doing this, as well as obviously throughout the center. Some of them will be lingual. Three of them will be done in English and Spanish. One of them will be done in English and Vietnamese. We want to make sure that we give everybody a chance to participate.
That's wonderful, Bishop. Well, thank you for all the efforts that are going on there, and we'll pray for that. It's very fruitful. Again, it's kicking off with the Archdiocese and Pentecost Mass, which is taking place Saturday night, this Saturday night, June 8th,
yep.
And it's going to be 7 p.m. at St. Peter's in Mendota, and then the listening sessions will begin. So that's very, It's very exciting. And there's more information, I believe, on the Synod online, both on the archspm.org and on thecatholicspirit.com, if I'm correct about that.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And what I've described is just the first year. The second year is going to be really in-depth consultation around those priorities. So once we determine them, which we will at the end of the first year, then we'll go back to every parish and invite their consultation. How do we deal with, for example, the fact that so many young people are leaving our church? And what's the wisdom of the Spirit as we seek to ultimately discern what will be the direction that we go flowing from this synod?
Wow, very exciting time. Much need of prayer, but an exciting time. Bishop Cousins, I know you're a busy man, and I know you need to get on to the next thing. But before you leave us, can you give us your blessing, please?
Sure. May the blessing of Almighty God, through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, descend upon each of you and remain with you forever. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Bishop Cousins, thank you so much for joining us again on the Rediscover Hour.
God bless you.
Thank you. All right, so lots of things to be praying about with the upcoming Pentecost Mass. If you're listening on Sunday, it's too late. Sorry you missed it. But if you are able to go to the Archdiocesan Pentecost Mass, 7 p.m. Saturday night, June 8th, at St. Peter's in Mendota. So make it a point to get down there if you can to pray with your fellow Catholics, but also to pray for the upcoming synod process that is kicking off there this weekend. All right, so turning the page now, joining me in studio, Jean Gesick and Dan Delmore are with me. Jean has worked in... Oh, Joan. I said Jean. Yeah, sorry about that. I'm going to need my cheaters again. I thought I had kicked them because I haven't been looking at a computer screen so much. Joan Gesick has worked for parishes for 43 years. 43 years in a variety of ministry positions, including, here you go, hang on to your seats here, the parishes of St. Thomas the Apostle, Lumen Christi, Holy Redeemer, the cathedrals, St. Richard, St. Patrick's, and Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary here in our archdiocese. Prior to becoming the executive director of the Catholic cemeteries in January, in her spare time, she's involved in music ministries at St. Richard's. And Dan Delmore. Should I call you Don since I called Joan?
Sure.
Yeah,
just
okay.
Fine.
Yeah, Jean Gesick and Don Delmore. Okay. Dan Delmore is a member of the Catholic Cemetery's Board of Directors and active member of St. Bartholomew in Wayzata. He's funeral director and president of Gertie Delmore Funeral Chapels in Minneapolis and the suburbs of Robbinsdale, Plymouth, and St. Louis Park. And he's married to Mary with his son, Hugh, graduating from BC, Boston College, and last daughter, week. Claire, will begin at CUA, Catholic University of America, after completing a net ministry this year. Well, welcome to the program to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you much.
All right, so I'm very excited to hear about natural burial. I know it's recently been approved and for uses within the Catholic cemeteries. That's made some news items, news splashes there. But it's also obviously here in our local area. Just start off by telling us, what is this thing called natural burial? Joan?
Well, natural burial usually involves three things. You do not embalm the body after death. There is no grave liner, nothing to hold up the dirt or line the grave. And third, whatever the body is placed in, whether that's a shroud or if it is... I call them basket caskets because it looks like a basket.
Okay. Made of wicker.
Wicker or bamboo.
It literally is made of wicker.
Yes.
Or can be.
And or totally wood with no metal. So there are some caskets that are like that. And so basically it is a total natural progression of decomposition into the earth. Mm. So we're leaving a lighter footprint on the earth. We're that's one part of it, and it's also, as it says in I believe Genesis 13, we were made from the earth and we return to the earth. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the full come around, returning from where we came.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay. All right, Dan, are those your reasons, too, for thinking the natural burial might be something that some people want to do?
Absolutely. Yeah. As a funeral director over the last 43 years also, over all those years, I've watched a progression of people falling away from the church in terms of the rituals and the full rituals of the funeral mass, which actually entails three things: visitations the night before with memory sharing. Oftentimes people will look at us and say, why can't we have 17 eulogies at the Mass? The Mass centers around a person being baptized and claiming those baptismal promises on the day of their death and the day of their funeral. So in the church's eyes, when we bring someone into the church to be blessed at the beginning of their Mass and the family puts the pall over their casket, we are all the same. Mm-hmm. If we have been a person who has great prominence and worldly wealth, the church will treat you exactly the same way as they do an individual who has died on Mary Jo Copeland's front steps with not a dime to their name.
Right.
So the church looks at you as a child of God. So you bring the person back to claim their baptismal promises, and the body has been the temple of the soul. So the body is to be treated with the utmost of respect, incensed at the end, signifying the grace that the person has had throughout their lifetime. So all of that is being has been eroded over the years, and many parts of it aren't being followed. The final part of it is the burial of the person. Natural burial will bring back and shorten up the period of time from death until burial, because if the person hasn't been prepared, you'll follow all the rituals of the church, including a timely burial. Mm-hmm. These days, there's many people that are cremated. There's many people that are on my credenza behind my desk that are in residence at the funeral home and should be buried, and families won't make those decisions to get the burials taken care of, because once cremation has been done, they don't have to. There isn't a legal reason that they have to. There's a church reason that they have to.
Right.
So we're hoping the natural burial will get people back to that type of process of the funeral.
All right. So, Joan, I'll kick this question back to you. We talk about timely burial and everything. Without embalming the body, how long does it need? I mean, how quickly does burial have to take place?
So, usually within 3 days, although if there's refrigeration, it could be 6 days.
Okay.
There is also, and Dan can speak to this, there is a process of embalming using a natural liquid rather than a formaldehyde chemical embalming. And
plant derivative, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. And I'd love to tell you that I'm an expert. We've had one. And it worked.
Well, okay. All right. Well, you're definitely the expert in the room. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Unless Paul Sadek is doing something behind my back that I don't know about. Yes. All right. All right. So what about, so the viewing of the visitation is, generally speaking, one of the usual practices, the recommended practices. I know in my own experience, it has done a lot when loved ones have died to have a visitation, even an open casket visitation where I can say goodbye. I mean, it draws closure. That's something that's important. Mm-hmm. What about with natural burial? Is that possible?
In the state of Minnesota, you technically are supposed to be embalmed if you have an open casket visitation in a public setting.
Okay.
Immediate family members can come to a funeral home or to a church prior to the public coming and view an unembalmed body, and there's not a state regulation against that.
Okay.
So this new form of preparation, which, as I say, is very new, seems to work, and that would allow to have that process take place, and it doesn't have the chemicals that go into the ground. Visitations and that time of period of viewing a person are very important. Mm-hmm. All of the stories that you hear from people as they come in and tell you things about your mother or dad that you never knew, something wonderful they did for them in the 40s or the 50s that you had no idea about, are very important and very healing times. Mm-hmm. So this drive to have everything condensed and done quickly, or sometimes not done at all, does not lend to what you were talking about, the ability to experience that.
Okay, all right. Joan, I'm just curious, have you experienced a lot of people interested in natural burial, or an uptick recently in everything, or?
So we offered three seminars, one at each of the vicariates, mostly for the professional ministers. So it was pastors and pastoral ministers, liturgists, people involved with funeral ministry, and we had quite a few people show up because this option is out there, people want to know more about it. And then we did an evening, one evening seminar in which we had about 60-65 people show up just when we just presented on natural burial. So there are a number of people that said they've been waiting for us to do something like this. They've desired this. They want the simplicity. They want to return to the simplicity, the connection, the more natural connection between birth and death.
Yeah, okay.
And how you know, it's one cycle. And because we believe in resurrection, there is nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah.
So, and they desire that simplicity rather than the large expense that sometimes comes with funerals.
Mm-hmm. And so that is another thing that we hadn't talked about yet, is that the expense is significantly lower, is it?
Not significantly.
Okay.
It is. So at Catholic cemeteries, we sat down and we tried to do a comparison between types of burial. If you go to what we consider kind of the lowest average funeral, full body burial, we find that it's going to be about $1,000 under. But it is not a huge amount. Everything is dependent, of course, in all of the extras, just like with a regular funeral.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, if you are in a simple shroud, it's probably going to cost less than if you are in a fancier bamboo casket.
Of course, yeah.
So it depends on people's choices.
Yeah, that
just
makes
like
sense.
It is with any
funeral.
Kind
yeah.
of.
Yep, that makes sense. Okay. So if people are interested in learning more about natural burial, or if they want to request a natural burial, how do they go about doing something like that? Dan?
The natural burial section called Gate of Heaven Preserve is at Resurrection Cemetery right by St. Peter's in Mendota.
That's
across
right,
the
yeah.
Mendota Bridge.
Yep.
And that so far is the only place that the Catholic mm-hmm. cemeteries has developed.
Right.
That's taken about 5 years to get the mm-hmm. process going. And it's very nicely done and ready to go. So for a true natural burial, that's the only place that the Catholic cemeteries have at this point. In terms of being able to find out more information about it, pretty much any funeral home that serves this area, the Twin Cities area, will know about it. The Catholic funeral homes are learning and getting more up to date on all of it. And Resurrection Cemetery, the counselors that are there, are well versed in it. So one could call Resurrection in Mendota and they could have an appointment with a person to do so. I personally have two coming up in the next week and a half or so with people who have expressed an interest in it and have called. People that I know,
yeah.
but who are looking at that possibility.
Sure.
So.
Okay. All right. And have you actually, Dan, I'll ask you the same question I asked Joan. Have you noticed an increase in number of people who are looking at this, or not quite yet?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of people inquiring about it. A lot of people, as Joan said, wanting to go back to the simplicity.
Something simple.
And talking about that. It fits very well with the traditions of the Catholic Church.
Yeah,
and so
course.
People that are quite faithful, are very interested in it. They're interested in things like Trappist caskets. At the moment, Trappist caskets have metal handles, so they don't qualify. They don't qualify, although they are working on it. I have had a number of discussions with them, so they are working
that's good
on
to
it.
Know. Yeah.
They have one that's coming along. So yes, there have been a number of people that have expressed interest. I was a funeral director before the cremation world exploded.
Yeah,
and I remember as a young, very young funeral director that my bosses, including my own father, poo-pooed the cremation world and said it'll never catch on. That was a very, very major mistake on the part of the hierarchy of years gone by.
Uh-huh.
So funeral homes are paying attention to this because people coming in the door are asking for things different and to be done differently, I should say. And so we're watching that and responding to it.
Yeah, wonderful. All right, so I guess I want to go back to what you were saying earlier, Joan, about kind of the Genesis 13, that you came from the earth and to the earth you shall return, and that sort of thing, that it really does in some very significant ways. It points us back into that connection to God and to connection as one of his creatures, so as therefore part of creation, yeah? Is that what you've been saying? And that's, yeah.
And also, you know, Pope Francis came out with a letter talking about, you know, our concern for the environment and how we are part of God's creation.
Right.
And that respect, I mean, it ties in with, you know, as Catholics, we believe in reverence mm-hmm. in how we treat the body mm-hmm. at all times, and especially after death. And so I see this as a way, which is maybe a more solid touch point for people to do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, so check out Natural Burial as part of as an option for you here, and especially in Resurrection Cemetery. That's where we've gotten mm-hmm. some ground to have that take place. So Joan Gesick, Dan Delmore, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to go into our next break. When we come back, we've got Barry McCullough and Linda Harmon with us to talk about the Archbishop Flynn Catechetical Institute. So stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Every day, I learn something new, and I'm filled with so much joy. And after about 6 months, I went to confession and started going to Mass again and receiving the Eucharist. If it weren't for you and what you do, I'd still be lost out there.
We hear from so many who may have wandered away from the church, wandered away from the sacraments, and there's something about what they hear on Relevant Radio, the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, bringing them back to church.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Please consider making a donation today. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society today at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
To the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Perrin, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. We are going to talk about the CI, Archbishop Flynn Catechetical Institute. Linda Harmon is with us, who her primary position, she says, is the wife of Bob and mother to Margaret and William. Her second position is co-owner of Harmon and Hartman Financial Group. And she is a 2011 CI grad, and she also went through the School of Discipleship in the fall of 2018. Also, Barry McCullough is with us. He's a graphic designer who runs his own business and is a stay-at-home dad. And he's a 2015 graduate of the CI and was part of the class of St. Francis, and just also finished up the School of Prayer, also offered by the Catechetical Institute. Boy, I'll get it eventually. Linda and Barry, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Patrick. Thanks for having us.
It's a mouthful. Now I'm going to let you talk because, that's enough of me. All right, so let's just start from the very basics, the very beginning. For those of you who haven't heard, what is the Archbishop Flynn Catechetical Institute? Linda?
The Institute is an organization that functions under the auspices of the St. Paul Seminaries. And within the Institute, there are different schools. As you said, we've both graduated from the Archbishop Flynn Catechetical Institute, which is a two-year pillars program divided up into four segments that covers the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And then under that as well is the School of Prayer, the School of Discipleship, and coming soon, I think we have a School of
Evangelization.
Yes.
Yeah, it's growing.
Speaking our language. That's good. That's mm-hmm. good. Excellent. So, Barry, why don't you give us an idea? Okay, so that's the overall structure. What's a typical class evening look like?
A class evening is typically either on a Monday night or a Tuesday night. And something that you do in preparation for that class is you'd be given some homework, which is to read the catechism. And there's many paragraphs that you would chew over. And then you would do a lot of reflection upon it. And they also would give you some homework to do.
Uh-oh.
So they do give homework in this class, but it's really easy. They give you a nice workbook. They have questions that you can reflect on, putting some, answers to. And then if you're actually struggling with anything, the class is where it comes in and helps mm-hmm. you with that. So if you're finding yourself getting a little lost in it, you go back to class. So once we go to class at night, we go to our small groups.
Mm, okay.
And small groups are really important. It's such a nice variety of people that you have in there. You have all different backgrounds of people. You have converts to the faith. You have cradle Catholics. And you have people who are just like you, like not knowing a lot, but we're all in this together. And some of the things that you might have been struggling with, other people are. And then also you have this nice variety of people who are saying, oh, I thought about this. And then you're like, wow, that's amazing. Great insight. So mm-hmm. the small group experience is a great experience when you're investigating the catechism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then after the small groups, we break out to our large group. And so we'll have a speaker, and we have a variety of speakers every time. So most classes, we'd have a new speaker. So we've had Bishop Cousins, we've had Father Klockman, we've had Deacon Mihalik, Deacon Gannon, Father Hoffman, and all of them have kind of their one expertise on a topic. So we really dive in and really start getting a greater understanding of what we're reading and hitting a lot of applications for it too.
Yeah.
So okay. It's a fantastic experience. And it is also, we also get the opportunity to ask questions
right.
In class. Right. So great opportunity.
Who would be a good candidate for the Catechetical Institute, Linda?
I'd love to take that one because when I was invited to consider the Catechetical Institute, what I learned the first night of class is that I was the cafeteria Catholic.
Mm.
And one of the blessings of the small group was to, as we were going through the introductions, I felt this, I don't know if it was a confidence or an encouragement to speak up and say, this is where I am at. And I had never known what a cafeteria Catholic was until someone talked about it as they were introducing themselves. And I said, I'm the poster child.
So what's a cafeteria Catholic?
Christmas and Easter.
Oh, okay.
And that's providing I can find a seat, because one time I walked in at Easter Mass holding two kids and there was no seat. I handed my envelope to the usher and I walked out. So I said, I can't do this.
Lord have mercy.
Another thing is, oh, thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, right. All right, go ahead.
So another thing I'd like to add about the small groups is that this is the Pillars for program is a requirement for seminarians.
Mm-hmm.
And it is also a prerequisite for deacons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And I will tell you that one of the best experiences of the 2 years was being in a small group with the young men who are going to be our future pastors.
Mm.
I would say, wow, what an experience for them to hear what we're going through and to see them, you know, and hear them contribute in the conversation. I thought, wow, this
yeah,
is
yeah, definitely the sharing part of the small groups is amazing. And mm-hmm. to really hear of other people's struggles is our struggles,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's that body of Christ really coming together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It does sound like there's a very communal aspect to it all. So you're mm-hmm. Growing in your faith together with others, which sounds a little bit like that early church that I was talking about at the beginning of the show, right? Yeah. Okay. All right, so people, if they're interested in the Catechetical Institute, and they're going to want to know, you know, what's the time commitment and what's the money commitment? So help me out there. What are the time commitments and the money commitments? Let's start with at least the Pillars program. So the kind of the mainstay Catechetical Institute as we've known it in the years it's been going on. So time and money. What are we talking about here?
Okay.
Who wants to be the bearer of the
I'll be news? The no. Actually, I'm happy to speak about it because from a time standpoint, I signed up for the Catechetical Institute probably at the worst possible time in my life. I was starting a business, I had young children, you know, all of the obstacles that say, no, this isn't the right time, but it was the best time. So for those of you out there who feel overwhelmed in life right now, this is absolutely the best time to take the Catechetical Institute. Second of all, with regards to the schedule itself, it's really very, very doable for working people, busy people. You have 11 classes that meet on Monday night from 7 to 9 p.m. in the fall, and they start usually right after Labor Day, and they're done just before, in early December. So it it's a nice break until early February. You'll have another 11 classes, and you're done in early May. In the fall and in the spring, there are two Saturday morning formations,
mm-hmm.
and they are just go deeper into the topics that you've been learning and really are a blessing. And that's your two-year program. From a cost standpoint, the modules, and when I say modules, it would be the fall semester, the spring semester, and then in the second year, the same thing. It's $300 per module, pay as you go, and there are some scholarships available through the Catechetical Institute.
And I really got to say that, you know, I didn't know what I was getting into when I first signed up for it. People were just encouraging me to do it. It happened to be at Epiphany Church, which was like 5 minutes from my house.
Well, that's helpful.
So how can I not go there?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but once going in, it was really an amazing experience that I went through. I thought that, you know, hearing about it kind of felt like college again, mm-hmm. and I didn't want to go through it. It's not. So it's so much more because it's about faith. And so, you know, the commitment, I would say I was probably doing anywhere from 2 hours of homework and stuff, and then diving into, you know, the commitment of every Tuesday, you know, you just adapt to it all. And it really was a great experience. And as for the family, you know, just like anything, for all you people in hockey, you just kind of create a new schedule,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. right. Yeah. Well, if you don't manage our time, time will come to own us, right?
Exactly.
It'll be completely.
But I must say the benefits of the class are so far. It's an amazing course that really, it's really edified me hanging out with all those people. My faith has grown in leaps and bounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really gave me an extreme amount of confidence in knowing my faith, and so now I'm involved with faith formation classes.
Mm.
Adult formation. I lead a small group of men on Sunday nights. And having gone through this program, I just have, it's instilled in me so much confidence into explaining the faith and really letting people know, like, the connection between the Bible, the church, and Jesus's heart. It's all there.
Mm.
So it really does help me explain things to people and really help broaden their understanding about the faith.
Tell us a little bit more about the fruits that you've seen in your life, Linda.
Well, for everything that I do, I have, which I do quite a few things, I'll have a different signature depending on what I volunteer for. But at the end, I've got a quote that says, when God gets a grip on your life, nothing remains untouched.
Mm.
And from the standpoint of where I came from, I was a, you know, that cradle cafeteria Catholic who didn't know her faith, I am strongly moved toward connecting with people that may not feel they have a good foundation in their faith. And whether it is at home, whether it's at work, whether I'm walking through the park, it has gripped my entire life. And I guess mainly helping me know and understand that I am never alone. No matter what's mm-hmm. going on, someone's always right next to me, and that is something that I hold on to very tightly.
It's a beautiful thing. All right, so we've only got about 30 seconds left, but how can people find out more?
If you go to the seminary website, it is semssp.org. Or you can call 651-962-5072. But at the website, you will find all the information that you need to know to sign up for the Pillars program. Or there is also an open house happening at Mary, Mother of the Church.
Yeah.
Barry?
Yeah, that open house is Tuesday, June 11th at 6 p.m. at Mary, Mother of the Church down in Burnsville. Great opportunity for you to meet some of the staff and to actually have some of those questions that are probably you're wanting to know more about. So, yeah, plenty to get fed there.
Wonderful. Well, Linda Harmon, Barry McCullough, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover. God bless you and all you're doing.
Thank you, Patrick, for having us.
All right. We're going to go on our final break. When we come back, Paul and I have all sorts of other opportunities for you to grow and deepen your faith. So stay with us.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
I wanna wake up. I wanna open my eyes. Take the shades up. Pull the sun from the sky. Step out in faith and step into.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm good.
It's a good time of year, isn't it?
It's a good time of life.
It is.
It's a good time of the universe.
All right. Well, tell us why, Paul. Give us some events.
One reason is that married couples can celebrate the gift of their vocation at the Archdiocese and Marriage Day Celebration Mass with Archbishop Bernard Hebda, Saturday, June 15th, 10 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. Those celebrating their silver and golden anniversaries in 2019 will be honored in a special way. Family and friends welcome. Reception follows immediately in Hayden Hall, lower level of the cathedral. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org or email the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life, mfl@archspm.org.
Join the parishioners from the New Prague area Catholic community and others from throughout the Archdiocese to pray, remember, and celebrate all the good things God has given us at Rural Life Sunday on June 23rd. Mass will be celebrated by Father Charles Lockowitzer at 1:30 p.m. Following Mass, there will be lunch, music, and children's activities. For more information and directions, visit the events page at archspm.org.
Pope Francis proclaimed that women make an indispensable contribution to the church and to society. What is this distinctive skill set that makes women indispensable in the new evangelization? Come to Women, Wine, and Wisdom, June 25th for the answer. Her popular speakers, Kelly Walquist and Elizabeth Westhoff, share their wit and wisdom for an entertaining evening with fabulous hors d'oeuvres and desserts. Space is limited, so grab a friend. Register today at CatholicVineyard.com.
Evangelization on Saturday, July 13th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Archdiocesan Catholic Center to learn how to evangelize in your everyday life in easy and fun ways. The basic evangelization training includes presentation, small group discussion, practice, role-playing, and more. Cost is $25 per person, includes the full-day workshop, all materials, and a light lunch. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org and register today.
Grandparents, save the date for Saturday, August 24th, the date of the Catholic Grandparents Conference. Come and hear God's plan for grandparents. Be equipped to pass on a heritage of faith. The Catholic Grandparents Conference will be on Saturday, August 24th, 8:30 to 3:30 at the Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids. Conference includes keynote speaker Marianne Kaharsky, founding member and director of Pro-Life Across America, along with Father Joseph Bambanek, who will be speaking on the topic of bringing healing to your family. Also, an hour of adoration led by Bishop Andrew Cousins and more. For more information, CatholicGrandparenting.org.
Hey, and you know about that grandparenting conference. Guess who's going to be on the next Rediscover Hour?
Marianne.
Marianne Kaharsky, director of Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard People, joins us to talk about grandparenting and the upcoming Catholic Grandparenting Conference. Also, Andrea Allen and Father Mike Renslown on the Feast of the Holy Trinity, which is coming up, and author and speaker Dia Boyle on the Women's Retreat in the fall. Until then, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.